Okay, so this is Robbie, and just a little bit, listen to what the atheist guy is saying. And then Robbie's answer.
Hello, my name is Ethan Kaiser. I am a scientist and an atheist, and my question is, since the Bible has been scientifically disproven as far as all the claims, you know, through evolution, the theory of evolution, archaeology, you know, Noah's Ark, Adam and Eve, since we know this didn't happen because of our science nowadays, my question is, how do we have, according to the Bible, how do we have free will if God is this omniscient being that knows everything about us, everything we will do, and he pretty much knows our outcome before we're even created. So he creates us knowing everything we'll do. Since we can't surprise him by our actions, we have no free will. Our choices have been predetermined, and that the act of judgment is completely immoral because he knows what we're going to do. Nothing can surprise him. That's the question.
Thank you for the question. And before you go into an auditorium, if you give a sheet of paper and ask us to write 20 possible questions, that'll come. We've never heard a new one in all of these years that go by. They're pretty much the same questions. It's interesting that you began by saying, as an atheist, all of this has been disproved, and so you live with scientific materialism as your worldview. I studied under John Polkinghorne at Cambridge University. You probably know the name. One of the world's leading quantum physicists, who came to exactly the opposite conclusion you did while being the dean at Queen's College, Cambridge, as a quantum physicist, taking the same data you did. So obviously, for a man of his intellectual ability to come to a different conclusion, one would either have to say he's totally stupid to come to that conclusion, or else his empirical basis. Please don't keep shaking your head. Let me finish so that you can come and talk afterwards. So he allows us to concentrate what we're saying here. I want to read for you what David Berlinsky says about the scientific naturalistic worldview. Do you know who he is? One of the world's leading physicists, who is an agnostic, borders on atheism, but took issue with Richard Dawkins's book, The God Delusion, and wrote a book called The Devil's Delusion. Here's what he said. Has anyone ever provided proof of God's inexistence? Not even close. Has quantum cosmology explained the emergence of the universe or why it is here? Not even close. Have the sciences explained why our universe seems to be fine-tuned to allow for the existence of life? Not even close. This is Berlinsky talking. Are physicists and biologists willing to believe in anything as long as it is not enough, not religious thought? Close enough. Has rationalism and moral thought provided us with an understanding of what is good, what is right, and what is moral? Not close enough. Has secularism in the terrible 20th century been a force for good? Not even close to being close. Is there a narrow and oppressive orthodoxy of thought and opinion within the sciences? Close enough. Does anything in the sciences or in their philosophy justify the claim that religious belief is irrational? Not even in the ballpark. Is scientific atheism a frivolous exercise in intellectual contempt? Dead on. Now, I didn't say that, all right? I'm not quoting myself. Please give me your name, sir. Ethan?
Yes.
Ethan. What you're wrestling with is not uncommon. Many people from a scientific and materialistic worldview will say what you've said and come to that conclusion. The problem is what you mispositioned was your concern between determinism and free will. Your application could have gone in many different directions, but you came to that one for some reason, which I was unfortunate, I think. At Cambridge, I listened to a talk at the Lady Mitchell Hall in 1990 by Stephen Hawking. As you know, he can't speak, he uses a speech synthesizer. His whole talk was on determinism and freedom. And you know what he concluded? That the tragedy with scientific materialism, if we take its assumptions, is that we are not free, we are totally determined. That was the world's leading physicist at that time saying, the very thing you're asking of the Christian faith, he pinned on your backs as scientific materialists. You can go right online and trace it. Lady Mitchell Hall, 1990, somewhere around March, April, May, that time I was in attendance. And he said, the only escape I have is since I don't know what has been determined, I may as well not be. The whole auditorium moaned and groaned with an escape hatch that he gave for himself after telling us that we were completely determined. That's Berlinsky's issue. That is actually even what people like Dawkins will concede, or Pinker, you read Steven Pinker and the others. So totally determined. So the question is, were you free to ask this question? Yeah.
I don't believe any of us actually have free will because we are strictly material.
So you're actually, as a machine automaton, asking me this question?
We are all made up of our past experiences.
Okay, but you're not free then. You're not free. You're not making a truth statement.
A truth statement. I mean, what I'm saying is our memories and our states.
No, hear me carefully.
Okay.
If you're totally determined,
yes,
you're pre-wired to think the way you do.
Nature versus nurture, yes.
Sorry?
Nature versus nurture.
Nature versus nurture.
Yes.
Regardless, the nurture may provide a different environment, but
sure,
the nature is you're hardwired,
yes,
to come out with a certain conclusion. Out of flux, nothing but flux. You know, what you put into the computer, ultimately is going to come out. But you have to ask yourself, are you making a truth claim? If you are making a truth claim, you're rising above the bondage of total subjectivity. And the moment you claim a truth claim, you're violating determinism. And so I just leave you with that, and let's meet afterwards. Hey, Ethan, we want to chat with you. You know, you're the kind of guy we come here for. So afterwards, you come.
It is amazing that so many people write books on determinism. And coming out of the whole academic world is that if all we are is chemistry and physics, our brains are completely wired. The next sentence I say was predetermined from ages ago. I have no choice in anything I say, and you have no choice but to sit here and listen. Because your chemistry pre-programmed you to show up in this location at this time. And it is pretty amazing what he finished off with, is that once you make a truth claim, even as simple as 2 plus 2 equals 4, you've now violated determinism. And so, and even within Christianity, there's a no free will group. If you ever see a free will Baptist church, that's the counter response to the determined part that God, and his opening question comes out of that, the atheist guy. And I want to kind of go back and go through it, just let him talk again, to see what you hear in what he said.
Hello, my name is Ethan Kaiser. I am a scientist and an atheist, and my question is, since the Bible has been scientifically disproven as far as all the claims, you know, the theory of evolution, archaeology, you know, Noah's Ark, Adam and Eve, since we know this didn't happen because of our science nowadays, my question is, how do we have...
Okay, first one here. We know scientifically. But what was his opening statement? I'm a scientist and
an atheist.
So if you're an atheist, can you believe in Noah's Ark? Can you believe in creation? Can you believe in any of those things? So he's trying, and through this, you heard him.
Welcome.
You heard him kind of diverting the question, oh, nature versus nurture. Or Robbie's trying to get down to that point that his religion dictates his beliefs. He's trying to shift it over to science. But before that is, he's already admitted he's an atheist, materialistic scientist. He's already determined the outcome of his question. To even discuss God is irrational. So he says, I'm a scientist and an atheist. And that's part of what this is, we're going into to the presuppositional part of apologetics, and that is, this is our starting point. Ethan here is starting here and denying that anything else exists. Because that is, if you're a materialist, this is the universe. That's all there is. And so that's what he's starting as. And so Robbie finishes off with saying, if you're talking to me as an atheist, are you even free to ask your question? And ultimately, he's hemming and hawing and trying to get around it, but that is the conclusion. He's not even free to come up to that microphone. It was all completely predetermined to say the words that come out of his mouth. And one of the places this comes up with in here is, what does that do to justice? If everything you do, your interactions, your criminal behavior is completely wired, is it your fault?
And there was
so how can you prosecute somebody for doing something that they're completely wired to do? And there is these problems. This is part of what's going on in the criminal justice system. Is that this starting place, and I kind of blame it on society, and you know, if we can change the nature versus nurture, if we can get them in better housing, they won't be such bad criminals, or get them free money and handouts so they're not having to conduct criminal behavior or something. It's completely circumventing the idea that people make choices. If we start here, there are no choices. Everything you do has already been determined by your chemistry, by your brain chemistry. So let's think of a question here. Does God have a brain? Let's say pre-incarnation.
Not like we would think of it.
Is God physical? The brain is a physical chunk of matter that God gave us. He has a mind, and this gets a little bit into the next thing I'm going to do here.
Well, since because God is the creator, there's, and before everything, it was just Him. There wasn't anything that was not God. There was just God.
Yes.
And then He created not God, which is the physical. Like, I mean, the physical time, space.
He made, because there was no place, so He made a space to put all this stuff.
So He made the physical, so there's, yes. I mean, like, that's part of His creation.
I'd say, where does things like dementia and all that stuff come from? Dysfunction in this organ between our ears. Most people, even with dementia, have a clear mind. It's just now the interface is broken. And it's sometimes the people that are wheelchair bound. Some cases, like radical cerebral palsy, they've got a perfectly functioning mind. Just like Stephen Hawking, he mentioned. Bound to a wheelchair using a speech synthesizer, types out all his messages, and then the computer speaks it. Mind is brilliant, but the interface to express that out to the natural world is broken, and we knew that. So, and this is what presuppositional does. We don't need to go any further in what this guy is really going to be talking about, because he has already admitted his religious bias in his first sentence. And that's what presuppositional apologetics does. Transcendental is because he is appealing to a higher authority, his atheism, to tell him what to believe about the world that's all around us. And as you get into discussions with people, those are the things you begin to listen. Why talk about the stuff way out here called picking dandelion heads? When we were little kids, we got paid a penny a piece to go out and pick dandelions out of the yard. And they'd always come back. Why? Didn't take the roots out. Exactly. We're going for the root. We're not just, and most issues today that pretty much everybody's dealing with is just picking dandelion heads. We're not getting down to where we can make a difference. I noticed years ago that when somebody would explode, get mad, that's when it's touching their faith level. Because down at the faith level is their identity and who they are and how they fit in the world and all your friends and all of that stuff is all tied down into the faith level. And you start messing with that, people get unhappy real fast.
Well, that's understandable. I mean, if you're deconstructing the foundation they've built their life upon, that's going to be pretty unnerving.
Yes.
And so you need to do that gently and gracefully and understanding that you're they're in a spot that's very difficult for them to, I mean, they're completely unmoored at that point.
That's why we have to have that other edge of the sword. At the same time, we're destroying the very foundation of their life. We're showing them that there is a better foundation to build it, and it has to kind of happen simultaneously. That's part of how we live our lives, how they see us, and all that kind of stuff. That simultaneously, we have a solid life. We have peace, joy and righteousness and all those things, and hopefully they've seen some of that, because maybe that's why they're asking questions. But when we start shredding that, and there's another guy, his name is Saiten Brugenkate, Dutch, and he goes to a lot of college campuses, and he said he watches their eyes and he sees them and their life is being destroyed, and he said, be very careful as you do that to provide something better, something superior, which the Christian life is, superior to anything anybody has to offer. And so we begin, so you saw through there, Robbie's trying to keep friendly with this guy. You know, the kind of guy who would come here more. And he's strong about it, but at the same time, go just a little bit.
According to the Bible, how do we have free will if God is this omniscient being that knows everything about us, everything we will do, and he pretty much knows our outcome before we're even created? So he creates us knowing everything we'll do. Since we can't surprise him by our actions, we have no free will. Our choices have been predetermined, and that the act of judgment is completely immoral because he knows what we're going to...
Okay, two pieces in there. Morality.
Right.
If you're an atheist, where do you get morality from in the first place? Completely subjective. Completely relative. I think God is immoral. So? What does that prove? That's just your opinion, because there is no absolute morality according to your worldview. So how can you call God immoral? And that doesn't mean the words will come out of their mouth. They'll kind of plow ahead. But raising that question, those are those seeds of doubt that we get to plant along the way. And the other one is, if God knows everything about what we're going to do, how does that make us determined? How does that mean we have no free will? If I know everything that's going to be happening in the stock market for the next year, wouldn't that be awesome? Does that mean I'm making it that way? I just have knowledge of God being outside of time, knows everything. Now, I mean, God does plan certain parts of those things, but by and large, people do what they do, independent of God. Autonomous is the word.
So, limited on autonomous. That's kind of the. Yes. You can't do anything that goes outside of what he allows. So, like, he will divert us or change the course Because he maneuvers kings and however.
But if you choose to become a mass murderer, he won't stop you.
No, but he might.
Unless there are certain people.
He might actually stop me from killing certain people because that's not their time.
Those people, yes, are part of his plan. But you being a mass murderer is your choice.
I think sometimes maybe what helps clean this up is sometimes I think the term free will is what gets a little convoluted.
Yes.
Because no human being is completely free. That's a human impossibility. We make choices, but they're all based on outside contingencies.
Yeah, it's a convenience.
Right. I mean, God is the only free being who does what he wants to do without any outside coercion.
Outside, yes.
Right. And so we have things pressing against us that we make choices and we, you know, do things, but it's always in response to other things.
So that slows us down. We don't want to do it.
Right. So sometimes I think the term free will gets confusing. I really like the term human responsibility. We make choices, and our choices matter, and we do that. But we're not free in the sense that God is free, that we just do and act whatever we want to do without any outside influence. That's humanly impossible. And right. So sometimes I think that convolutes it a little bit. Because people take free will all the way. It's almost like in the garden, the temptation to be like God. We're absolutely free. But we're not. We have outside things that press on us. That
so you're really saying we're restricted free will, in a sense.
Yeah, I like the term human responsibility. I think it just cleans it up. We do make choices. No one's going to deny that. But we're not a free being. In the sense that God is free. I mean, God does what he wants to do without any outside influence whatsoever.
He can't lie, and he can't be unfaithful.
Well, that's where we... But he doesn't want to do that. Right.
So at that point, I was trying to decide why he was bringing this up if he didn't believe it anyway and discounted. He mentioned Adam and Eve, mentioned Noah's Ark and that. So based on what the pastor said, was he stating that? So that he was disallowing Robbie to use any of that, is what he was saying.